like to call to order tonight's regular planning commission meeting. Please silent or put on vibrate your cell phones to avoid interrupting the meeting. Commissioner Earp, would you lead us in the flag salute, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Be seated. Ms. Sanchez, would you call the roll?
Yes. Chair Heasley.
Present.
Vice Chair Durr.
Here.
Commissioner Machen.
Here.
Commissioner Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Ebley.
Here.
Commissioner Paxton.
Here.
Commissioner Earp.
Here.
Okay. Commissioners Barnhart and Daly are absent. We have quorum.
Thank you. Anybody that wishes to speak tonight in the audience wishes to speak, has to fill out a request to speak form that near the table near the door. And you have to have the oath administered. Ms. Sanchez, would you administer the oath, please?
Yes. Anybody looking to speak, please stand. Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you are about to give before this body will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? If so, please say I do. Please be seated.
Tonight we're starting off with our consent agenda. Consent items are considered routine in nature and may be enacted in one motion. All public and non-public hearings will be opened at one time. Any item may be discussed separately upon a request of the member of the Planning Commission or a member of the public. What does staff recommend for the consent agenda?
Yes, thank you, Chair and Commissioners. We have five items on tonight's consent calendar. The first item are the minutes from April 20th, 2016 Planning Commission meeting. Item number two is a request for an extension of time, 16-03. It is a one-year time extension for a tentative tract map 17367 for the subdivision of 65 acres into 69 separate parcels. That is located north side of Verdemont Drive between Chestnut Avenue and Magnolia Avenue, and staff is recommending approval of that. The third item is also a one-year extension of time. This is for tentative tract map 18895, which is a subdivision of a three-acre parcel for 12 single-family homes located at the northeast corner of Mill Street and Macy Street. Staff is recommending approval of that. The fourth item is actually a resolution which confirms the action which the Planning Commission took at your last meeting to deny a general plan amendment request 16-05, development code amendment, and zoning map amendment 14-17. Again, the commission held the public hearing at your last hearing, took testimony, closed the hearing, and directed staff to come back with a resolution. So this, again, is just confirming that action. And that, again, was a general plan amendment located at 4630 North F Street. And then the fifth item on consent is a conditional use permit 16-04, and this is for the establishment of a student activity center on a 5,800 square foot parcel. I'm sorry, it's the building size is 5,850 square feet on a 3-acre parcel located at 2574 Kendall Drive. And staff is recommending approval of that conditional use permit as well.
Thank you. Any commissioners have any comments or questions concerning any of the items on the consent agenda? No members of the public wish to comment on any of them? Very good. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
I have a motion.
Second.
And I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried unanimous. Next, we're into the public hearing items. Planning Commission will first hear a report from staff, then the public hearing will be open. The applicant will have an opportunity to speak. Next member of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Anyone in the audience, again, wishing to speak must be sworn in and also fill out a request to speak form. When your name is called, come forward and speak into the microphone. Say and spell your name and give your address for the taped record. After all have spoken, the applicant will be allowed to respond. The public hearing will then be closed and the Planning Commission will begin deliberations and make a decision. All actions except general plan amendments and amendments to the Municipal Development Code are final action unless an appeal is filed and a fee paid within 15 days to the Community Development Department. If you challenge the resultant action of the Planning Commission in court, you may be limited to only raising those issues you or someone else raised at the public hearing described in this agenda or in written correspondence delivered to the Community Development Department at or prior to the public hearing. First item on the public hearing.
All right. So our first item tonight is item six. There's a few applications with this one. We have General Plan Amendment 1502, Development Code Zoning Map Amendment 1504, Subdivision 1505, and Development Permit Type D 1511. Project is proposing to change the General Plan Land Use Designation and Zoning District of... I'll combine these. There's 12 parcels comprising about 25 acres. Currently a mix of zoning, including light industrial, office industrial park, and public commercial recreation, proposing to change that all to light industrial zoning and merge them to one parcel. Once that's done, proposing to develop and establish an industrial warehouse building containing approximately 564,000 square feet. And the property is located southwest corner of Waterman Avenue and Dumas Street. There's an aerial of the property. Subject site is outlined in red there. You can see it's just south of Orange Show on the west side of Waterman. There's an overview of the zoning. You can see it's a mix of the light industrial, the gray, purple being the office industrial park, and it was a green. It's displaying a little differently, the other color being the public commercial recreation. Here's some photos of the existing site. This is looking west from Waterman Avenue at the southern portion of the site, the portion still zoned to commercial recreation. This is further up the street in the industrial park and industrial light zones. We have, again, further up the street at the intersection of Dumas, looking directly at the site and down Dumas Street. And one last image, further down Dumas Street, looking south onto a portion of the site. And we have some plans for the project here. This is the proposed site plan, oriented north. We have Dumas Street at the top end of the graphic, Waterman to the right side. I said about 560,000 square foot industrial. It's a cross-dock facility, doors on the north and south side. As a floor plan, right now this is just a speculative building, so there's no tenant or anything proposed currently. And some elevations for the structure. Going in order, we have the east elevation, so what's facing Waterman Avenue, the north elevation fronting Dumas, the south elevation, and then the west elevation. You can see we did worked with the applicant diligently to get a nice design for the building, especially the sides fronting Waterman Avenue, to blend in with a lot of the other office buildings and things like that that are nearby along Waterman. So we added additional windows or additional glazed windows and other features on there to incorporate that. And our recommendation tonight is that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution 2016-030, forwarding a recommendation to the Mayor and Common Council to adopt the mitigated negative declaration and approve General Plan Amendment 1502, Development Code Zoning Map Amendment 1504, Subdivision 1505, and Development Permit Type D 1511, based on the findings of fact and subject to the recommended conditions of approval.
Thank you. Any questions from any of the commissioners for Mr. Martin? Commissioner?
I just wondered if there's... Could you talk to us a little bit about the effects of traffic in the area there?
As with any development, there's bound to be an increase in traffic. As part of this, there's been several mitigation measures that are being imposed specific to those impacts. In no particular order, Dumas Street is going to be widened to be full width, improvements on both sides to to allow truck traffic to come in that direction. That'll include also relocating some utility poles that are all along the street and other things like that. And Waterman Avenue, it's already built out, but there's a few features that are going to be included. The intersection, and we can I'll jump back to an aerial so we can see. Kind of just below the arrow indicating the project site, the intersection of Park Center Circle North and Waterman Avenue, there will be a signalized intersection that's going to be created there. Something the applicant has agreed to put in that will allow truck traffic to turn in and out, truck and vehicular traffic to turn into the site. As part of that, there is a left turn lane within the existing right-of-way that's going to be put in to allow vehicles coming north to turn onto the site. And then there is a deceleration lane fronting Waterman Avenue, kind of basically right under where the project site arrow is, that's going to be put in to allow vehicles coming south to turn onto the site and have a space to slow down so they don't impact the other traffic. Yeah, it'll be just an extra lane so you can pull into that and then onto the site so that there's no backup. The intersection with Dumas itself is going to be limited movement, basically just right in, right out, because of the railroad crossing there. They are being restricted into the movement, and that's what the other signal is going to help with. The majority would be coming in, basically centered on the site from Waterman Avenue, as of right now.
Mr. Martin, my question is regarding this, knowing that we're looking at heavy truck traffic, and I know the condition of Waterman Avenue, both the structural section. Is there any consideration on that decel lane on either direction or both directions of putting a stabilization PCC slab to replace the asphalt pavement due to the multiple trucks that are stopping there? I'm sure we've all seen at intersections where you have heavy truck traffic, asphalt pavement failure because of shoving.
No, I certainly understand.
And I think that might be a condition that I would entertain for this project.
Would you be able to? We do have several members of the applicant's team here might be able to speak to that. If you'd like.
Thank you. Please state your name and address for the tape record.
Yes, Jackson Smith. I'm with Newcastle Partners, 4740 Green River Road, Corona, California, and we are the applicant. I just wanted to do a brief presentation, but to your point about the decel lane, we can certainly look at PCC. I understand the concern with that widening, and that will be the majority of the traffic would be coming in off of Waterman. So we could add that as a condition, if you like, and do PCC there as opposed to the AC.
Okay. That'll be a condition that I would suggest that we add.
Would you like to add that for the decel lane and the turn pocket coming north? Or?
Yes, that's a decel lane as well, both directions, north and southbound on Waterman.
Right, so the decel, the center median on Waterman.
Mm-hmm. The northbound pocket.
And then the decel lane.
Right. Southbound, correct. Inadequate for whatever the city determines is the distance required.
Okay.
And it should be built to Caltrans standards for off-ramps.
Okay, we can certainly add.
I don't know what those specs are, but that's okay. Understand.
At that point, if you have a presentation, feel free.
Yeah, no, I just like I said, just briefly, hello, thank you, and good evening for giving me the opportunity to speak on behalf of our project. I want to thank Oliver, Travis, and all the city staff for their work. It's been a couple of years, almost 3 years, getting to this point, and it's been a complicated project just in terms of assembling 12 separate landowners and keeping them under contract for an extended period of time and going through the process. So I appreciate everybody's efforts in that regard. Most of the, and again, speaking to the properties that are being acquired, most of them are vacant, and therefore we're not displacing any residents on the properties. They've all been willing and able sellers. The transactions have all been at arm's length and fair market value on all that, et cetera. So, and we've also met with all the landowners and the adjacent golf course owners to, as part of our community outreach, and we have everyone's support in that regard. As Travis has mentioned, the proposed development has been designed to comply with city's development standards and is consistent with the development code and general plan as to be amended. And we've reviewed the existing conditions of approval, and they are acceptable. And just a quick kind of overview about what our intentions are. Once we receive our entitlements, our intention is to begin the construction drawings and submit for permit right away. The estimated timeline, if things go according to Hoyle, we would probably start construction at the end of this year. It's probably a 7 to 9 month construction project, so that'd put us probably in August of 2017. We do intend to start the project on a speculative basis, in other words, without a tenant in mind, but the market for these types of buildings is the market's strong right now, and we hope that we would land a tenant before the construction is complete. Vacancy rate in this size category is below 5%, so demand is very high here in the Inland Empire for this type of facility. So we do expect some good things from that. Just to outline some of the current active users that would require this type of and size of building, include users like Nike, Walmart, ConAgra Foods, Amazon, Rust-Oleum, and UPS, to name just a few. And some of the recent transactions in the last 6 months in the local market environs here in the Inland Empire include Fender Guitar, ACT Distribution, Munchkin.com, Wayfair, and, of course, Amazon. In addition, we are working with local labor groups to hire somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 construction-related jobs. It's anticipated that many of these construction jobs will be residents of the city of San Bernardino. It's also anticipated that somewhere in the range of 250 to 500 permanent jobs operating in multiple shifts will also be created. And the permanent jobs that we're expecting associated with the project doesn't even include jobs that would be indirectly related to the end user. And then additionally, it's possible that an e-commerce type tenant would have a retail component or could have a retail component, and the possibility exists for a generation of sales tax revenue to the city. And when we finish the project, we'll have invested over $45 million in the project, and that'll raise the property tax basis about $40 million. So that concludes my presentation. I just wanted to get a quick overview, and I'm available for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. I appreciate it, and I'm in favor of this myself because we need additional development, and right now the property kind of looks like not good.
Understand.
So it'll be improvement. And my only issue was the potential destruction, a probable destruction of Waterman Avenue due to the heavy truck traffic.
Understand.
Any commissioners have any questions for Mr. Smith or comments?
Just one. How many people did you expect to be employed there in the permanent?
Somewhere in the neighborhood. It could be, but we're estimating probably 250 at a minimum, up to 500 in multiple shifts, okay, depending on the type of user. But we are seeing that with the e-commerce, which is there's a real high demand for that right now for these facilities, that they're more employee intensive and they do run multiple shifts.
Yeah, and we have adequate parking for that number?
We do, yes. It's as required by the code. It has met all the parking standards.
Thank you.
Any questions? Well, at this point, apparently you've answered all the questions that have come forth. I'll entertain a motion.
Commissioner. Motion. I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution 2016-030. Forwarding a recommendation to the Mayor and Common Council to adopt the mitigated negative declaration for General Plan Amendment 15-02, Development Code Amendment, Zoning Map Amendment 15-04, Subdivision 15-05, and Development Permit Type D 15-11, and approval of General Plan Amendment 15-02, Development Code Amendment 15-04, Subdivision 15-05, and Development Permit Type D 15-11. To approve.
Based on the findings of fact?
Based on the findings with your...
And with the additional
condition.
With the added condition, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Mr. Durr. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Thank you very much. Welcome to San Bernardino.
Took long enough.
Next will be non-public hearing items, a study session, comprehension development code update. Director Persico or
Mark, give us an introduction.
Yeah, I think I'll make a couple of introductory comments before turning it over to Travis, who's been the project manager on this. We're actually, I know the report is doesn't look like a lot, but there's been a tremendous amount of staff time and effort that have gone into this. We are really breaking new ground, I guess is the best way to put it, with this code. It's very different than what a lot of jurisdictions are doing. And our intent is to spur economic development, but really also make sure that the projects that are built are high-quality projects that the city can be very proud of. What we have tonight is the first of three study sessions that we're going to be coming forward tonight, then in June, as well as July. When we brought this forward last time to the commission, I think the last time we actually had a workshop on this was in January, and we heard the commission loud and clear that you wanted to get as much public input as was possible. We have met with the mayor's business roundtable. I met with them 2 weeks ago. I've attended the president's meeting on Saturday morning, and then we also loaded this early on the website and sent the link to all of the NAC presidents. I know it's not unusual for workshops for zoning codes to not get a lot of public comment. I've done this in other jurisdictions before, and it's not until there's a project in my neighborhood that I really care what's going on, and then all of a sudden I get interested. But we are really looking forward to getting as much feedback as we can from the commission as well as the community. So if you all hear people in the community that have questions, they want a presentation, we can certainly do that. So with that, I'll turn it over to Travis, and he'll kind of walk you through this.
All right.
Thank you, Director.
Thank you, Mark. So the development code we're looking at, as we've talked about this a little bit, going back to January of last year, so it's been a little while. We all know current development code was adopted back in 91, severely out of date now. Been amended numerous times, most recently in 2012-2013. That's helped, but also caused a lot of problems because now we have inconsistencies throughout, and we've decided to come back at it from page one, do a full rewrite, and try to address a lot of those issues, as well as incorporate things that have changed in 25 years. The code that we're looking at now is primarily going to be composed of seven sections listed on the screen here. We have zoning districts in the map. That's, you know, our actual land use districts, the residential, suburban, your commercial general, light industrial, things like that. And the map that will accompany that. Second section is the land uses, which are, you know, are you doing retail? Do you have an office? Do you have just a house? You know, what is the use on the site? We have our development standards, which will be just the standards for the physical improvements on the property. You know, how tall can you build? How much parking do you need? What's your landscaping? Those things. Nonconformities, that section obviously dealing with nonconforming uses, nonconforming structures, both of which we know we have many examples of in the city, being an older city as we are. When we have evaluation criteria, that's going to be all of the permit types that we have, development permits, conditional use permits, things like that. procedures and administration. That's going to be something I know we discussed at that original meeting back in January of who's the authority on what. You know, where can we make thing, you know, where can we make things where staff can do more, what needs to come to what body for approval, and then the definitions. Tonight, we're looking kind of in part at two of the sections, that being the land uses and the definitions. Those are the attachments that that were provided with the staff report. What you're going to hear pretty much every time we talk about this is what I know Mark's already mentioned as well, is streamlining and simplifying. As I explained, it's everything. You add a section, you don't eliminate other sections, you get so much bulk and stuff, it's hard for us to interpret, it's hard for the public. You know, we want to make it easier for everyone to understand. One other thing we're looking at with the land uses is condensing all of our existing use charts into one. Right now we have residential chart, we have industrial charts, commercial charts, special use or special district, you know, land use charts. As things have changed, that's really not, it's not prudent to have those separate. You know, you have commercial uses that are in industrial areas, vice versa. Residential can be here and there. It doesn't make sense to segregate those anymore. They're now going to be combined into one chart. That's the first example, or the first attachment that you have, the two-page land use chart. And being a little difficult to read right now because we don't have all of the land use or the zone categories filled out in the chart. But once that's done, you'll get a better idea that, you know, I'm going to be able to do many uses in many different zones across the city. It's not going to be only commercial and commercial, only industrial and industrial and things like that. As a part of that, we're also, in condensing the charts into one, we're also condensing a lot of the uses, trying to create broader categories. It's an old way of doing it, where it's very specific to, I'm doing retail, I'm selling this exact product. You know, there's certain situations where that applies. There's certain where it's just overly restrictive, you know, for the operators wanting to come in, and more difficult for us to use and to be able to classify things. What we're looking at doing now, as an example, is, you know, currently we have medical office, we have, you know, professional office, we have administrative. Practically speaking, they're all office. We're trying to look at uses more as, do they all, if they operate similarly, or they have the same, you know, criteria, same impacts, you know, on their neighbors, things like that. You know, same, you have customers coming in, buying a product, leaving. We're trying to combine those uses, so, because that's the real concern. I mean, if you go buy a property, you know, you drive by somewhere, you visit somewhere, no one's as impacted by what are they selling in there, with obviously limited, you know, exceptions to that. It's more, is that a problem for the neighborhood? So that's the way we're trying to look at it now. In condensing that and referencing the second attachment, the land use chart with the existing land uses, we provided that there, shows all of the current proposed uses, all of the existing uses directly from the chart or from the existing land use charts to show how we've now combined a lot of the uses. The intention with that is to show that we spent a lot of time to make sure we didn't end up eliminating something that's currently allowed. You know, we don't want to create non-conforming uses. We want to make sure that, you know, while we make it clearer and easier to read, we still retain the uses that we have that are working. And the last thing, with prohibited uses, we're now looking at incorporating that back into the land use chart. Currently, with the exception of dispensaries and the associated businesses there, the prohibited use chart doesn't really have any prohibited uses on it. It has uses that are more heavily regulated. There's exceptions to a lot of the prohibitions. If you're in a certain size shopping center, if you're a nonprofit organization, you know, things like that. So it makes more sense to show that those are uses. And then within the land use chapter, when we fill it out, we have development standards for the uses specifically that still retain those necessary regulations. Right now it's confusing to say it's prohibited unless you're doing this and then you can do it. It makes it hard for us to explain. It makes it hard for the public to interpret. So we feel it, by combining it again, we retain the intention of it. We make it easier to understand. With all of that that we're doing, we also have a very preliminary draft of the definitions. It's certainly not all that will be in there. There'll be many added to, you know, general terms, explaining, you know, planning terms. But because it's a twofold thing that we've done with the definitions right now. We have several new use categories that we've created. You'll notice those in the chart with the existing land uses. Under existing land use, if it's noted as a new land use classification, it means there was nothing previous that, or currently, that would fall under that category. So we had to create a definition for that. And with consolidating the remaining uses, definitions now need to be modified to incorporate, you know, the maybe broader category of businesses that could fall under that specific use. With that, that's what we have for the evening. This said, both of these items are part of these two chapters. There are remaining sections. As I said, definitions will continue to be filled out, you know, as we get better terminology for things, as we, you know, create or fill in more of the standard terms, you know, setbacks, lot coverage, things like that. With the land use chart, the next thing that we'll be looking at with this, which is this remaining component, are those special criteria. So when that's done, the intention is we'll have the full land use chart. It will show you can do uses in X, Y, and Z zones. You still have criteria that you have to meet. Maybe it's you can't do it if it's abutting a residence, if it's a potentially, you know, a use with potential concerns, or it has to be a certain lot size, or something like that. You know, it has to be located at an intersection, you know, like a gas station or something of that sort. And those will be explained in great detail in there, so that there's still regulation to these land uses. We're not just saying every commercial property you can do this business on. The other component that we're working on that is kind of the remaining part of the table itself is the consolidation of the land use districts. Currently, we have about 11 commercial zones. Many of them are, you know, you get two or three that are the same exact zone, except for one allows one additional use. That's not really practical for us. It's not an efficient way of doing it. It makes it very confusing because this is CG1 right here. The property next door is CG2, so you can do this business. Your neighbor can't. It gets very confusing, makes it very difficult to implement these requirements. So we're looking at consolidating those. And then with eliminating some of those zones that are fundamentally the same right now, we'll get rid of a lot of the redundancies in the code. That is pretty much what I have. If you have any questions, I know right now with the charts, as you said, it's a little hard to read everything because we're only showing you sections of the chart or a section of the chapter. If there's any questions kind of on the direction that we're going, I'm happy to answer anything that we have.
Commissioners, anybody have any questions besides myself?
Yeah, I'll follow up on one thing that Travis mm-hmm. said, because I did notice the reaction from a couple of commissioners on the prohibited use table.
Mm-hmm.
As Travis said in his presentation, the prohibited use table is probably a misnomer, because most of those uses aren't prohibited. As he noted, they are heavily regulated. For instance, check cashing facilities are prohibited unless you're in a shopping center of over 150,000 square feet. Secondhand stores are prohibited unless it's within a building of more than 25,000 square feet.
Or you're a nonprofit.
I'm sorry. Wait.
Or if you're a nonprofit.
Or if you're a nonprofit. So it's misleading almost to say that they're prohibited. So we're going to, as he noted, move them into the land use table, and then there will be development standards for all of these uses. So I did notice that several of you kind of perked up when he made that comment. So it's not as if we're, you know, going to start permitting uses that weren't previously permitted. So we're not losing the development standards. We're just making it easier for people to follow, more logical.
Mm-hmm. The suggestion, instead of the word prohibited, restricted to.
That's a
different way of phrasing it.
Yeah.
That takes the negative connotation.
That's the way we've been looking at it internally when we discuss the chapter now.
A couple of my questions were, after going through the charts and some of the definitions of further back in it, why is a produce stand not under agricultural?
Sorry, give me just a moment.
I'll let you answer that one, then I'll get to the other one, which is going to bring some comments from other people.
So you said, why is a produce stand not under what? I'm sorry, Commissioner.
Why isn't it under agricultural uses?
The key difference there, and as I said, these definitions, you still have, a fair bit of massaging to get into their final format, is an agricultural use. You can you could be doing just farming on the side, or just growing a product. Like, I know they're all warehouses now, but a lot of the property that used to be in Redlands there, north of the 10, off California and around that area, the produce stand would be. If you actually want to still have, if you want to have sales of any of the product on site as well.
Okay.
It's like the difference between manufacturing and retail. It's a crude metaphor, but, it kind of works.
The other one is under the definition for adult businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's limited to, and I can read the whole thing or you can look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Or materials, services, materials, or products which have their dominant theme, the sexual arousal, sexual gratification, and or sexual stimulation of a customer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that saying we're going to have places for prostitution? Established businesses of prostitution?
I'm going to go ahead and say no. I think that's going to be all of our answer.
Adjusted to.
There's again, not to just continue with the same answer, but there is going to definitely be some changes to these. A lot of them were quick. We pulled existing definitions from the code. We modified them. We'll definitely address that.
Yeah, I just found it amusing to read that, and I went, wait a minute. that's the only things that I had. I applaud how the effort that's been made so far to redefine and consolidate and simplify our code, because the old one was a heartache to read, even.
Still is.
It still is, but this one's getting easier all the time.
Yeah.
Commissioner Lopez.
I have a question, or really just a clarification. You may have referred to it because you're talking about certain establishments within a certain square footage. Mm-hmm. Did the city a while back, not that long ago, but a while back, have a moratorium on certain businesses because they felt that they just had too many of them in the city? Certain 99-cent stores, liquor stores, tire, tattoo parlors.
At least going back to the most recent update, which would have been, I said, end of 2012, beginning of 2013, all of the restrictions for every use that you mentioned, the single price or the discount stores, tire stores, everything like that, the code has always prohibited them unless you're in a building over 5,000 square feet or over 10,000 square feet. There's always been an out, so to speak, to that prohibition. So that's what we're saying, where it's the name of that section has always just been the issue.
So those are going to be part of these amendments or these changes as well? Or
right,
just
we're
I
not,
remember
we're not
there was
changing
something quite the, official that said there was a moratorium on some of those establishments.
Well, as long as I've been here and Travis has been here, there hasn't been an outright moratorium, which means you couldn't open them for a period of time while the city was potentially looking at updating development standards.
Mm-hmm.
I know that regarding 99-cent stores or discount stores, there has been some recent discussion that I've heard, at least among community members and one or two council members, there's the concern that there's a proliferation of too many dollar stores or 99-cent stores. Under the code, I think it's important to point out that they would be treated as retail. Retail is retail. And kind of when we embarked upon this project a year ago, In the simplest form, you can say, you know, there's probably two or three types of uses. There's retail, there's office, and there's manufacturing. And, you know, you could stop at those three, or you can do what our current code does, and we've got probably 120 types of different uses. So they're somewhere between those three types of uses and 120 that we currently have that this code tries to hit that happy medium. So I don't know if that answers your question. We don't have a moratorium, but I know there's been some concern that people have. Mm-hmm. The code's going to treat those as retail uses. And what regarding economic development, the idea is that it may start out as a dollar store, and as the neighborhood matures and as the socioeconomics of a neighborhood turns over, a new retailer would come in, and you may get a TJ Maxx, or you may get a Target store there. Mm-hmm. So we are trying to, as much as possible, have the code be responsive to what the market will build. At the end of the day, kind of our philosophy, if I can speak for the department, is we want to see buildings built and occupied. As long as they're built, you know, with quality and they meet all of the development standards, we're not as concerned if it's, you know, a dollar store or if it's a Target or a TJ Maxx. So I don't know if that answers, it probably answers more of your question, or maybe it doesn't answer any of your question.
And maybe the word moratorium is incorrect, you know, and that's the one that I was using, but I do recall that there was something when there was concern in the city that we were being overrun by certain establishments, like I said, tattoo parlors, hard liquor stores.
There was
stores.
And I apologize, I forget the date. It was sometime in the last 10 years or so or around there where there was the ordinance put in place to establish what's now the prohibited category for all of those uses. And I believe it was for those reasons. But either through criteria that were established at the time or things that had been modified in the intervening years. And nothing, just to repeat it, nothing has ever been 100% prohibited. There's always some person that can meet the criteria. They have a large enough building, they have certain certifications or whatnot to still establish the use. Mm-hmm. And what I think will help is when we get to, it may or may not be the next meeting, it would be within the next couple meetings, when we start to bring in that section that shows criteria for certain uses. It's like, as Mark mentioned, you have retail now.
Yeah.
There's still going to be certain types. It's all retail for the purposes of zoning it. Based off the operator, there may still be some criteria for the type of retail they're doing. And we're going to have those. And once we have that section and you can start to see that, you'll see that, you know, we're keeping some of those same restrictions. We're keeping the same requirements for lot size and what it abuts and things like that. And it'll be easier. Right now, we've got several pieces missing in the
problem. I agree that, you know, the criteria will come later. Mm-hmm. I think the concern at that time was that some of these establishments were actually contributing to the blight. Yeah. Retailers that put their wares on the sidewalk.
That's
overabundance of.
That's one of the other things that we've talked about a lot.
As long as those things are part of the criteria.
There's. It's what we've kind of settled upon as we've been going through this is it's not those establishments that are those problems. It's not necessarily what they're doing. It's the operator. There's not the clear development standards or operational standards set in place that they have to abide by, or they're not abiding by them. If we get somebody, you can have a dollar store or, you know, a thrift store or anything like that that may be a problem one place. You get another facility that's running it or another operator that's running it. It's a nice, clean establishment, brand-new-looking building, you know, looks great, looks like any other retailer on the street. And we're pushing more towards having those criteria and being able to regulate those businesses to make, you know, to ensure that they operate in that way. When you have that, you're not looking, you see the blight, and then you see they're doing that use. Mentally, there's the connection that says the blight is because of that use. And that's not always the case. If things are implemented correctly, it won't be.
Any other questions or comments? I look forward to the next meeting when you bring the next segment forward to us, and I'll find something else to comment on.
All right. Well, we're glad to get all the comments.
Fellow commissioners, to read it in detail so that you have a firm understanding, because we will eventually be making a decision based on it, and it's a very complex issue that we really need to put our hearts and souls into reading it and understanding it to provide feedback to staff so that the correct thing is done in our mind as a group.
Well, we do thank you for the comments. And so that you're all aware, and I believe it had gone out in the emails, we're going to continue. We have the new page on the website along with the existing development code for the update as we continue to come up with these sections. Whether or not it's the time for a meeting or it's in between, if we have something that we're ready to put out there for comments, we're going to post it. So, keep an eye on that, and we'll be able to. We don't have to just meet once a month to talk about it. We can get feedback at any time.
Commissioner Dar?
This is kind of a rabbit trail. Is there any kind of strategy in this process to reduce or eliminate medical marijuana facilities? Is that in there?
Right now, we have the section currently that outright prohibits it. Until anything changes, that section is going to remain. The policing power, in terms of dealing with the ones that are open, is kind of beyond our scope.
They're not legal now, right?
None of them are legal right now. Yeah, that is correct.
Wow.
Wouldn't it be a produce stand?
Herbs.
Well, that's what I said. We're still going to play with that definition. But.
Yeah, I'll kind of follow up on what Travis said. Yes, they are all prohibited uses today. Mm-hmm. The police department and the city attorney's office, I know, has been very active, and they're from what I understand, they're very expensive to close down because they are so profitable. The operators tend to fight pretty hard and tend to have some creative attorneys and come up with creative arguments. But they are all illegal. That is correct.
And I would just follow up on that and say the Legislative Review Committee has had two meetings already that were quite well attended by members of the public. They are looking at whether to regulate and allow them in some areas of the city, different types of activities. I know they're very serious about actually looking into it, figuring out how they want to deal with them, or if they want to continue with the ban and increase enforcement. So that's something that the City Council and specifically the LRC is well aware of, and they are looking at it.
Yeah, we've my experience has been that there's just a whole bunch of sick 21-year-olds in the city. I don't know why we have so many. That's all you see there.
Very profitable.
So hopefully you can.
All right, next is public comments for items on the agenda that are in the purview of the Planning Commission. If any member of the public has comments to make. See nobody jumping up. Planning Commission reports or announcements? All quiet on the Western Front. Director's report.
Yes, thank you, Commissioners. We do have a couple of items to hand out here, or one item, I should say. Quickly, while Stephanie is handing that out, the major projects list, you all did receive a copy of that back at the first of the month. If you have questions on any projects, certainly give myself or any of the staff members a call. We do update that the first of every month and put it on our website. Secondly, we are having our food truck event tomorrow, our third Thursday food truck event. So if you're in town around between 11 and 2, please come out. It's been very successful. We're getting about 2,500 people every third Thursday. And then what Stephanie just handed out is our newest addition. Tomorrow is the city's first art night. And this has been a collaborative effort between the Fine Arts Commission and the city school district, San Bernardino Valley College, and Cal State San Bernardino. So it is tomorrow between 5 and 8 p.m. The events are all taking place in and around City Hall. So, for instance, Cal State San Bernardino will be displaying their artwork in the Guatemalan consulate. The first floor, the lobby of the building here, City Hall, there will be the choral group from San Bernardino Valley College, and then they'll also have 2D and 3D artwork displayed in the lobby. The city school district, that is 6th graders through 12th graders, will have on the second floor the Mexican consulate across D Street. We'll have their artwork displayed, and then in Vanner Tower, there'll be actually a film loop of student film work from Cal State San Bernardino, as well as Cajon High School student film work. And then out on the stage, there will be three different bands that Richardson High Prep will be performing from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. The Teen Music Workshop will be performing from 6 to 7. And then a group called Untapped Hip Hop from the Arts Institute will be performing from 7 to 8. So we are really excited about the event. It's been a tremendous work effort on my staff's part and everybody's part from all the partners. So come on out, tell your family, tell your friends, and we're looking for 3,000 people to attend. And that concludes my report.
Well, thank you very much. Yes. This is going to be cool. This is going to be cool.
Yeah.
I posted the flyer that I got from somebody here. The poster?
Yeah, Stephanie did. Stephanie did the graphics for this. Monica did the design for the art night, but Stephanie did the map and put it all together and the brochure design. So it's been a lot of work on everybody's part.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. What I was suggesting, I don't know if you already did it, but I didn't go to any of the community centers. That's an ideal place to post something such as this.
We get printed it out to the public 1,500 posters, and they've been posted okay. Everywhere in town, yeah.
All righty.
I have a question real quick.
Thank you.
This is way cool, Mark. Really good. Is Court Street and D Street going to be blocked off in a certain for pedestrian if you're expecting that many people?
It isn't. We talked about that initially, but we decided to not close off any streets. While 3,000 sounds like a lot of people across 3 hours, it really isn't. Uh-huh. If we do this again, and we continue to grow, yes, we may close off streets, but at this time, no, there aren't streets that are being closed off. And I should note that, as it says in the text, the idea for this actually came from a student at Arroyo Valley High School, a recent graduate. She sent me an email, just really impressive young woman. She got my name. She'd attended the food truck event, so she got my name through the food truck event, and she, about 9 months ago, sent me an email saying, hey, my sister and I just went to the Redlands Art Walk, and I think San Bernardino should do something. So myself and Brenda Liggett met with her. She came in with a PowerPoint presentation, an 18-year-old with a PowerPoint. Very impressive. And from that initial conversation, the steering committee has been meeting every month for about the last 6 months to put this together. So it really has been a huge cooperative effort on everybody's part. So, yeah.
Is this young lady a resident of the city?
She is.
Oh, wow.
Yes, she is.
Even better.
Yeah.
And we will get, hopefully you've, our public information officers, whoever they may be in this city, have put this out to the various media so that a positive reflection on San Bernardino rather than we get a lot of the negative that
Monica's been very, Monica Lagos, who is the city's communication manager, has been very, very helpful in getting this posted and getting this circulated. There was a article that Michael Nolan wrote in The Sun today for those who haven't seen it. So yes, we are looking for a lot of positive publicity.
And the social media, obviously.
Oh, yes.
It's good posting.
Absolutely, yeah.
All righty. On that note, unless there's something further, I entertain a motion to adjourn to Wednesday, June 15th at 6 p.m. here.
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Oh, Mr. Machen, second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody crazy? Nope. Thank you all. Do we have a bunch of students, planners in the audience?
Yeah, we're students.
Cool. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. There's two.
Good question.